Welcome to part two of our conversation with Shelley Pruitt. When you started investigating, what's your goal, or what was your goal when you started? And I guess maybe we'll kind of transition into what is it today?
That is a very interesting question. I'm not even certain that I can answer that, but I will give it my best shot. Whenever I first started investigating, I really just wanted to understand things that scared me. Mm-hmm. Things that a lot of people don't want to look at. And in doing that, you kind of have to look at yourself, like, why am I afraid of this? Why did I always want to sleep with the light on? Why did, you know, I gotta figure this out. And that rolled back into, you know, my very first encounter with anything I couldn't explain as a child. And now it's more, I want to tell someone, and I say someone else's story. I want to know why they're there. Because again, being stuck has to be awful. And I am a big believer in that sometimes, I think that we as living spirits can trap other spirits here and keep them from moving on, whether it's we don't process our grief correctly. And we, if you think about it, as a parent, if their child is crying, you're not going to let your child just cry. You're going to put your arms around him. You're going to hug him. You're going to hold him. And potentially a parent that passed away and they see their child crying at the graveside, well, maybe that child who is not processing the passing well, mm-hmm. that parent's spirit isn't going to leave. Because it wouldn't have, that parent wouldn't have left the child then. I think we can inadvertently trap other spirits here based on our emotions that, you know, maybe we can't turn them loose. And of course, they're not going to leave until we're okay. Or perhaps, you know, they don't know they've passed on if it's been violent or sudden. Or maybe they're just confused as to why can I not, you know, why do I not have my body? Why do I not have, I want to know the story. I want to help. And in helping, sometimes I think they just need to be heard and need to be told, hey, it's okay to go. It's okay for you to go. We've got this. You can go and rest.
Yeah. Do you think that there were, because it's amazing where we're at today compared to where things were, you know, 20, 30 years ago, in terms of the things that people are finding and evidence that is coming out, and just things that are going far beyond sheer coincidence for things matching up. How do you think that will progress? Do you think we're going to at some point have something that is just so clear cut, there's communication going on that will answer that or confirm that this is in fact a thing, and maybe we can get more answers that way in the future?
I will tell you, the thing that fascinates me the most are, I both love and hate the fact that it seems like everybody has security cameras these days. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because not only do you stop the naughty, living people,
sure,
but also you see some things that you might not have ever seen before. Drawers opening and closing on their own when there is no one home. Animals reacting strangely to noises that are not coming from outside. They're reacting strange, you know, to the strange noises that are in a closet, or that, you know, barking at this chair that sits empty. I love the fact that all these security cameras and the things that they're catching when nobody's around. And I think that is some of the best evidence, because no one's trying to make it happen. It's just randomly catching in the middle of this school one night, a chair sliding across the floor.
Sure.
Okay. The school's locked up tight. I love that. I love the fact that it is becoming more mainstream, because people are seeing things on their video cameras that they can't explain.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I wonder about. The more that we have cameras on anything and everything, are we going to start seeing, we already are starting to, but I mean, do you think it's just going to get more and more things out there as the technology improves, as these cameras look better and better with time, and they're able to pick up more and more things in odd hours, that there's just going to be an overflow of evidence coming in from things like that versus, you know, a paranormal investigator?
One thing I will never discount is the personal connection. Mm-hmm. There are people that I investigate with that truly have a gift for making a connection with something that can't be seen, mm-hmm. or something that may or may not choose to be seen. And that I believe that this is just me. That they were in death as they were in life. If they were fun and kind and caring and like to interact, that's the way they'll be in the spirit realm. But if they weren't so nice in life, they're probably going to be a bit of a jerk in the afterlife. So those interpersonal, I believe if they want to be seen, they will. And I believe that if they want to make a connection, they will. And just because there's a camera there, they may not want to make themselves shown, but they may make themselves seen, excuse me. But they may very well want to talk to somebody they feel like's listening. And I have caught amazing pictures of full body apparitions, full body shadow figures that I feel I caught because I was standing there and I was asking questions, mm-hmm. and just taking pictures and saying, I'd love to see you. Can you please step into the light? And you know, I would say, I'll give you a count to three. So those kind of things, I can't really discount that human living human connection.
Sure.
I think that's I think that's more important, but I don't think there's going to be extra sightings or a huge influx of spirits on cameras. Mm-hmm. I think the personal connection will always win out.
Yeah.
Just as you and I are speaking on the phone, that's a personal connection.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think that's always going to take precedence.
Yeah. Tell me about, as you've gone out and investigated, and there's, I think, a lot of these things where it isn't very much a personal connection, where it's, you know, you're talking to what was a living person once. They're just over there now. So, you know, treat them as such. But there's also obviously situations where things seem a little off, and maybe they weren't necessarily a person here once. Have you ever had a situation, a scary situation, where you really felt, This is either just kind of terrifying or too much?
I don't know if you've ever been to Yorktown Memorial Hospital. That is a place that I have seen. Yes. The answer to your question is yes, very much so. Okay. Yes. I had taken some people into the boiler room at Yorktown Memorial Hospital. And one of the girls that was with me was one of those put together girls. You know, the kind of girl I'm talking about. Her hair is perfect and her earrings match her belt, match her underwear, match her socks.
Yeah, okay.
That kind of girl.
Sure.
The girl who doesn't get dirty for a joke. Okay.
Yep.
She's put together. She's a bit skeptical. And oh my gosh, this place is so dirty. And we were in the boiler room and we were using the spirit box and trying to make a spirit box, an SB7. And we were trying to see if we could get something to talk. Now, that boiler room is like a Faraday cage. It does not allow any radio bleeds. So any words you get through that spirit box are legitimate because there is no radio signal coming down there whatsoever. And I'd ask if there was someone here, could they please let us know? And this very put together girl goes face first into the dirt and she starts screaming, I can't see. Her cheek is now scratched because she's got dirt all over her face, in her hair. She's screaming, I can't see. She's saying, it feels like my head's been split open. I go and grab her and start taking her up the stairs. And she is filthy. She is filthy. She is dirty. She's bleeding. And she just kept screaming that she couldn't see. She couldn't see. We get her outside and face is scratched. And I go back downstairs and I was like, talking to the other people, and I said, who did that to her? And clear as a bell through the spirit box, it said, it was me.
Oh my God.
And then nothing else came through it. And of course, me, I have a fight or flight response, and my response is usually fight, not flight. And I was like, now listen here, don't you ever do that again. And I start yelling at it. And I'm like, don't you ever touch these people. These people are not here. Do not touch them. And we went up to check on her and she was ready to go. She was like, no, I'm done. We're like, okay, we respect that. I would really like for you to come back in just because I don't believe in running. Get out if you need to, but you have to walk back in.
Yeah.
Because if not, it won.
Yeah.
And you can't let it win. But something very nasty and very unpleasant. I watched a girl get pushed to the ground in front of me and face scratched and dirtied up. And she wasn't the kind of girl that would have done that for a joke.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of many I've seen bite marks form on people at Yorktown. Lots of, and again, that's just one of the places that I've investigated that has something that's rather nasty. Mm-hmm. Another interesting one is Anson Opera House. I don't know if you've ever even heard of that one. Anson Opera House has what, that's in Texas.
Okay.
And I would honestly say that Yorktown Memorial Hospital has something that I truly would call demonic. And I don't call demon very often.
Sure.
But Anson Opera House, I would say, has something that is more of an elemental quality to it, something that's been summoned to protect. And I had a rather nasty run-in with that one at Anson Opera House. We were in, again, the basement. I don't know what it is about basements, but we were in the basement and we had the static night vision cameras going. And there was someone upstairs that was monitoring us and we were talking. And every time I would stand up, the K2 meters would go crazy and we would get the smell of it smelled like dead animals, the smell of rotting flesh, for lack of a better word. And if I would sit back, I'd say, okay, if you want to talk, I'll sit back down. And as soon as I would sit back down, it would stop. But we got somebody that came down the stairs and said, y'all have to get out of the basement right now. And we're all going, okay, well, what's going on? And the guy said, I'll tell you when you come upstairs. So we came upstairs and he asked me, he said, what was going on with you? Well, I had actually yelled at the people that were down there with me. And I'm not somebody who goes to screaming at people. Mm-hmm. I told them to ask a question. And nobody was saying anything. And I said, my God, if I'm going through this, somebody ask a GD question. And I just like scream it at them. And they're like, okay. And that's when he comes down. And when we went up there, he rolled it back and he says, watch your face. And my face began to change to the point where it didn't look at me. And at one point I look right in the camera and it does not look at me. It doesn't look like me.
Oh,
and he was like, yeah, it was time to come upstairs. I went, thank you. Appreciate that. That was something that was very strange, but I wouldn't have classified that as being demonic because I didn't really feel threatened at any point, but I did feel uneasy. So go ahead.
Do you have any recollection, of getting that way with the people, or was it just kind of like, you know, waking up from a dream? Like what happened? What was that?
I did recall yelling at them because I heard myself and I went, whoa, why am I yelling at people in my group?
Yeah,
am I screaming at them?
Yeah.
And that was kind of the person that was watching's cue that no, she's not right. She doesn't scream at people, you know.
Yeah.
She screams at spirits. She doesn't scream at people.
Yeah.
So that's when he came to get to kind of pull it out and say, we're done in here. We got to give this a break because it was not me. And I do recall yelling at them. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we didn't know why you were yelling at us. We're like, holy cow. So that's something that you can get affected when you go somewhere that has negative energy. And that's why you should never be by yourself, because you may not realize when you're being affected, but your person that you're there with, you should be there with someone you trust, that if they say we're done in here, guess what? We're done and you need to walk out. Whether you're ready to go or not, you have to trust the person you're with.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Shelley Pruitt. A big thank you to her for sharing her experiences with us on the show today. And thank you for supporting us and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.